Good evening. Welcome to Grace and Truth International Fellowship. I'm Pastor Raymond, and Wednesday night Bible study. And so we had good worship and prayer, and we're ready to hear what God has to say to us tonight. Our God is a living God who speaks to us today, and we're exhorted to listen in Hebrews that today, if we will hear his voice and harden not our heart, because we live, we receive life by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, the living God, your Father who is in heaven, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So let's go to him right now. Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for this opportunity to come and to hear. We thank you, Lord, that we could worship you in spirit and in truth, and Lord, we're giving you glory, but we get blessed. We get blessed. We get revived. We get set on fire. And the word that's in those songs, and we receive life. It just builds us up spiritually. So, Father, we're expecting you to speak to us. And the words that are spirit, the words that are life, not for condemnation. You didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, delivered, set free, made whole, spirit, soul, and body. So we thank you for that now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Okay, we're going to jump right to Genesis chapter 15, talking a little bit here about prayer and faith. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. Now Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. Now, first we see here that after these things, and what happened here was that he gave Lot you pick where you want to go and I'll go wherever, because they were having dispute about, the land couldn't hold all take care of all the animals that they had together, so they had to split. So Lot, you pick out wherever you want to go and I'll go the other place. So Lot picked out what looked like the best place, which isn't the best place, but spiritually. So it's almost like maybe afterwards he was feeling, man, maybe I did a stupid thing there or something. I mean, come on, he's human, okay? So after these things, the word of the Lord comes to Abram in a vision. I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. So God comes and he speaks. He doesn't always speak when we want him to speak, but he speaks at the very time you really need him the most. And usually that's when you don't feel like you can't hear. But that's when, so Abraham said, Lord God, and what are you going to give me, seeing I'm go childless, I don't have any children? And so to him, that was everything, because what good is it if he has all this stuff that God's going to bless him with? I can't give it to anybody. Can't pass it down. What am I here for? What is life, okay? Then, after he says this to God, God answers him. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven, and tell the stars if they'll be able to number them. And he said to them, so shall thy seed be. Now this is God talking to Abraham one-on-one. Now take look at the stars in heaven. Can you count them? That's going to be what your seed is going to be like. But you better look at things the way they are right then. He don't have any seed. And his wife's barren. They haven't been having any. They're just not having any kids. But that doesn't stop God. He gives him this promise. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham, somehow, he heard God speak it. to him. Well, we're told in the New Testament that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, he didn't have a Bible. He couldn't read it. We didn't need to read it. God talked to him. Amen? Well, God hasn't stopped talking. That's why it says in Hebrews, today, if we will hear his voice. He wants you to hear his voice. My sheep, Jesus said, John 10, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So we're followers of Jesus Christ. Not reading the book only. We read the book. We read the stories. We read the things in here. But when it's inspired, when we're reading the Spirit then will speak through us, through the Word to us. But he's not bound to this either. He can speak to you about anything, anywhere, anytime, because he's a living God. Amen? My sheep hear my voice. And so I need to believe it. Well, but I'm not experiencing it. I'm not experiencing it. Well, if you're not going to believe it, you're not going to receive it. If I don't believe it, I can pray, but I won't receive it. But if I pray and believe, I will receive. But it comes in that order. Ask whatever things you desire when you pray. What? Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. It doesn't say when, but that's faith. And the trying of my faith is so much more precious than gold that perisheth, they'll be tried with fire. Because faith pleases your Father who is in heaven, because you're actually believing what he says. So Abraham believes this. He doesn't have any children. He hasn't had any children. He's been married. He hasn't had any children. And God gives him this far out. I mean, it's not like, hey, you're going to have 12 kids. Or you're going to have 10 kids. No, I'd say this is exceeding, you know what I'm going to say, exceeding abundantly above what he could ask or think or even imagine, right? God takes him out there. Look at the stars. See all those stars up there? Well, that's where your seed are going to be. Well, he couldn't look at what he could see, because if he looked at what he could see or what he could feel right there at that time, there's no way. It's not going to happen. It can't happen. But with God, what? All things are possible. But it's not something we dream up. It's not something we dream up. It's something that he speaks to you about. It's something hearing God's voice, because he's going to say things. We're going to see this. Okay, now. And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And we are now called the children of Abraham, because he believed God, and righteousness was imputed to him. Imputed to him. It wasn't that he was doing everything correct, and so God blessed him because he was doing everything right. Righteousness was imputed to him because he just simply believed what God told him. Amen? And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And so he says, Abraham, he asked, well, what sign do you give me? Okay, we're going to jump, we're going to skip that. We go to 13 now. Now, 15, 13. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity Amorites is not yet full. He gives him this word that's for the future about his descendants. Now again, he doesn't have any kids, but he's telling him his descendants, are going to end up in his land, and they're going to be 400 years. 18. In that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river Euphrates. The Canaanites, the Ginnites, Ginnizites, the Cadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaims, Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Wow. So again, he doesn't have any seed, but he's going to give him this land that he's in that it doesn't, he doesn't possess anything. Well, he does, he's going to possess a piece of land he bought for Buri's wife, but that's all he had. But God's promise that the whole, that land was going to be his. Israel. Right? So here's God doing this in the beginning. Praise the Lord. All right. So we're going to go now to Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 1. 1 through 22. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and we know how Moses got here, so we won't go through all that. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not near hither. Put off the shoes of thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Now look at this carefully. And have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So God knows what's going on. Of course, the devil's there to tell us that God doesn't care. God doesn't know what's happening. We prayed, you know, we're going to see this. And I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, a large land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. So we could refer back to the song that we just sang here. And we need to keep praying. These people were praying. 400 years. They're being oppressed more and more and more. They're being oppressed. But God knows it. God knows it. And God's got a time. Because he already gave the time to Abraham. He already told him it's 400 years. Abram, not Abraham at that time, but Abram, from the very beginning, he gave him the time. And Abram believed God, and righteousness was imputed to him. Okay, so come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, and thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. My people, okay? And
he'll deliver us because we are his people, called by his name.
They've been there for 400 years. Now, we know through other things that they weren't actually staying true to their, if you want to just say religion, or their connection with God. They were praying to God, but they were also getting involved with the gods of Egypt. They were bringing them into the wilderness with them. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go? I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. Thou mayest bring forth my people, the children. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Hey, who am I? And we got to look at this just for a minute. We know that he knew something about he was supposed to be a deliverer, and he tried to deliver them, the Israelites, his brethren, and he killed the Egyptian. But then when he found out that other people knew about it, he took off because he was a wanted man, because in his own strength, it wasn't time. And it wasn't time for him to do anything. So he takes off and he runs into the wilderness, and he's out there in the wilderness for 40 years. He's 80 years old now. Too old. Now God knocks on his door and said, it's time for you to go. Who am I? He's not thinking he's anything. Back to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, I'm the less of the least, yet God made me this. And what God wants you to do, what God wants me to do, again, is exceeding abundantly above what I can ask or think, because it's not you that's going to do that. It's going to be him that's going to do it in you and through you, just like God anointed of Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Amen? And God's with you. And Jesus says this, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works shall these you do, because I'm going back to the Father. When I go back to the Father, I'm going to send the Spirit, the same Spirit that he was anointed with. And now he's not talking about one person. He's talking about his church, the body of Christ, who have different gifts from the Spirit of God that are exceeding abundantly above that person's ability. But it's all for God's glory, amen? And it's for the perfection of the church. It's for the bringing glory to God, amen? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee. Now God's assuring Moses, I'm going to be with you. Now, this isn't something that happens every day. And he never read a book about somebody that had this. Well, he did hear about it because he heard about God talking to Abram. We read it, okay? So he said that Moses was the one that wrote the first five books. So, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee. I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Now, being a human being, and I can just imagine what Moses is thinking. What kind of a sign is that? You want me to go down there and face Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And when I come back with the Israelites, I'll worship on this mountain. And that'll be a sign to you that I sent you. How about something a little bit before that? Right? I mean, it's like, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of our fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. He said, thus shalt thou say the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. Now remember, when he left there, because an Israelite had said, what are you going to kill me like you've killed the Egyptian? Who do you think you are? In other words, the last thing happened to him in Egypt was he was told that they didn't believe in him. His own brethren didn't believe in him, right? And it's right, they shouldn't have believed in him because he couldn't do anything. It would have fell. But anyway, and God said, moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. He's bringing this back up again. He's reminding Moses again. This is why I'm doing this. Because I spoke to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I've given them a promise. Has sent me unto you, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you, and his name, and this is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto the generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. So God knows what's going on with us today. Amen? He knows what's happening. Okay? We are to pray. If any man afflicted, let him pray, James says. Let him pray. We need to pray. And we need to believe God. And we need to hear, what are you saying, God? How do you want me to pray? But we got to hear, because that's where the faith comes from. It's from hearing him. It's not just saying what I want, because I've asked for things at certain times when I didn't get them, because it wasn't God's time, or it wasn't his will for me to have it then. And I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hevites, the Jebusites. He goes through this again and again. But he wanted them to focus on what he's saying, because that's where their faith is going to come from, what he has said to them, not what they are experiencing at that moment. And they shall hearken to thy voice. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and you shall say unto them, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to our Lord our God. Now that's not exactly what... You wonder, why did he say that? Like, he wanted a lot more. But see, he made it... It looked... This is... If Pharaoh would have taken it, it wouldn't have went the way God wanted it to go. He needed Pharaoh to reject it. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. And I am sure, 19, and I am sure the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. He will not let you go. And the first thing I would think was, well, why am I going? Why am I doing this then if he's not going to let him go? Because he wanted to show not only Moses, but Pharaoh, not only Pharaoh, but the people of Egypt, and not only the people of Egypt, but the people in the world. Because again, Rahab knew what had happened. They knew in Jericho what had happened at the Red Sea. God was glorified in the fact that Pharaoh... His heart was hardened. Okay? So, I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall go, not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of their neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, and they shall spoil the Egyptians. It's back pay with interest. Amen? So God told him exactly what he had planned. Okay? So he told Moses. Now Moses answered, let me see what I want to go here. 1-10. Now Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto you. So the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, rod. Well, okay, we won't go there, because we know he gives him these manifestations of the leprosy, the rod turns into a snake, and everything. These are signs to show the people that he really did meet God, because he's doing these miracles, right? That's what Jesus said. If I had not done the miracles that no other man did, they would not have sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. So God wants to show himself in miraculous ways so that people can't say, well, we wasn't sure it was real or not. Now, we want to go to 10. Now Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent enough, neither hitherto, but I am slow of speech, I am slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb or deaf, the seeing, the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pry thee, by him, pry thy hand of him whom thou wilt send. So God's saying, I'm going to put my words in your mouth. Does that sound familiar to something he's been saying to us lately? Out of Isaiah, put my words in your mouth, and I'll cover you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. He only said the things that he heard God say, and when he said it, it came to pass. Amen? Because he's saying what God's saying, and he says, this is my new covenant. This is a covenant I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. The spirit that's upon thee and the words that I put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed, saith the Lord, from now and forevermore. And it comes down to us, that we are here not to say our words, but his words. What is he saying to me? What does he want me to say to somebody else? And if God wants us to say something, we need to say it, and we need to see, okay, we've got to see this, that this is part of, he's telling us these things. But see, we're saying, but I'm not seeing it. It's not being done. Well, did you ask for it? Well, yeah, but it's not, I don't see it. I guess it's not for me. It's not, you know, those people can see, maybe they say they hear God, but I don't know if I'm, no. I got to believe before I receive. I've got to believe it. But I got to hear what he's saying. I got to believe what he's saying to me, that he wants me to hear his voice. Amen? Amen? Because if I believe it, sooner or later, it's going to happen. Because God, not because I wanted it only, because this is what God said. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they will follow me. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But this is not you bringing it about. It's just you and I believing just simply what God has said. Well, I can understand that you could speak through sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, but not me. That's what Moses said. I can't do this. That's what Isaiah said. I can't do that. I'm a man of unclean lips. Jeremiah said, I can't do that. I'm too young. I can't. You can. I can't. We can't. But I can, you can, we can do all things through Christ who would what? Strengthen us, amen? How does he do it? Through the Spirit. But the Spirit can't work if I don't believe. Get no Duke. Any great work in his own hometown because of their unbelief. Amen? We don't want to hinder God. We want to let the thing open. So in the right time, when it's time, and God's going to send you, he's going to give us a word. God's going to send us this. And again, it could be in the weirdest places. It could be in some store. It could be some restaurant. It could be anywhere that God just wants you to go up and say something to somebody. And that's exactly what they needed. And we'll give him glory. He'll give him praise because he's being revealed in us and to us and through us. And he's going to tell us, you know, what to pray. Okay, 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth him, he will be glad in his heart. Okay, so he goes, and we go to 29 here. Moses and Aaron went and gathered together the elders of the children of Israel, and Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. They saw the signs. And they heard this good report. Amen? It's a good report. So it's something to put faith in. It's something to give you, you know, a boost. God knows we're here. And they believed when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, that he had looked upon their affliction, and they bowed their heads and they worshipped. Praise the Lord. It's working. It's working. It's working. Oh, yeah. We go to 5:20. And they met Moses. Now, what happened was, of course, we know the story. Moses and Aaron went and talked to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. You know, we want to go into the desert. And Pharaoh didn't let him go. In fact, what happened was things got worse. People were idle. You're not going to give them straw anymore. They got to make the same amount of bricks, but where they're going to have to go get the straw themselves. So instead of things getting better, they got worse. So this is a sign to us, too, that sometimes things might seem to get worse. Right? Now, this is what happened, right? They did exactly what God told them to do, and things got worse. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way, and they came forth from the Pharaoh, and they said unto them, "The Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us." Now Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil and treated the people? Why is it thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." So here we have the valiant man, the man of power for the hour, the one that God sent. And he's susceptible to unbelief. Amen? Just like us. Just the same as us. He wasn't anything great. It's not the flesh, it's great. It's God in the person. It's God in you and me, right? And I mean, this is after God spoke to him. This is after he does these signs and wonders, amen? And that's after God told him, "And he will surely not let you go." Now, he didn't tell him what was going to happen, but when it happened, he's looking at what he sees and what he hears, and it's rejection, and it's like it's not working. 6:1 Then the Lord said unto Moses, "Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of this land." But no, you've made him mad. He's mad at us now. He'll never let us go. No, he's not going to let you go on his own. But when I get done with him, he'll going to let you go, all right. He's going to tell you to get out. Amen? That's impossible. He wouldn't do that. With God, nothing's impossible. Amen? So though it tarry, wait for it. What? For what? The word of God to come to pass. Now remember, all this started with Abram getting this word from the Lord. He didn't ask for it, but God gave it to him. And it was for their benefit. If they had read it and paid attention to it, they would have known that this is what's going to happen. Now, one thing was brought out too was the fact that, you know, they're living there for 400 years. Maybe they didn't want to get out. Maybe they just wanted it to, you know, make life tolerable here. I mean, our children and grandchildren, you know, they were living there for years and years and years. So they're into the place. They got places. They got land. They got and they don't know about up there. I mean, they don't own that land. But what they got is a promise. All they have is a promise. But it's us. That's all we got. We got these exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises we might be a partaker of his divine nature. And then we escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. It's not through our striving that we escape. It's through our believing in what he said, what his promises are. "I'll take out your stony heart. I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll cause you to walk in my statutes, to keep my judgments and do them." Exceeding great and precious promises. Wow. Then the Lord said unto Moses, 6:1 "Now shalt thou see what I will do unto Pharaoh." And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, "I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abram, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them," his promise, okay, the covenant, "to give them the land of Canaan, the land of the pilgrimage within wherein they were strangers," okay? So God wants to do not what they probably want. We want to get back to where Pharaoh will just let us live and let us live and let live. But God wants to do something great. I want to give you a land. I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, saying to the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into a land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abram, to Isaac, to Jacob, and I will give it for an inheritance. I am the Lord. Now Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Go and speak to Pharaoh. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? We see here that, again, this is impossible, Lord, that Israelites don't want to listen to me anymore. How is Pharaoh going to listen to me? Again, he's doing what flesh does. That's what our flesh does, too. We tend to look at the things that are seen and not look at the things that are not seen. Because the things that are seen are temporary. They're going to do this. They'll probably do that. And we can never, you know, what can I do? I can't do anything. Oh, yes, you can. Doesn't matter what the problem is, doesn't matter what the situation is, doesn't know whether you're dealing with other people or you're dealing with yourself, your own problems, or what your country is doing, or what this is happening here, or what's happening there. There's somebody that cares, and that's your Father who is in heaven. And isn't it neat that God, when the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, and he said, this is how you're to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this nation, in this earth, in my children, in this congregation, as it is in heaven. And then we got this other promise that hook up to it. Like a railroad train, right? Hook this onto it. This is the confidence that we have, and if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition that we've desired of him. And when we have it, when we know that we have it before we see it, it's called what? Faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, expected. It's not something we have. If you have it, you don't need faith. But we're believing God, and that pleases God. Amen? So we're keep praying and keep believing. God hears the prayer. What keeps coming to me all the time, every time he talks about prayer to me, he keeps bringing Zacharias back to me. And the angel comes to Zacharias and says, the Lord has heard your prayer. Huh? He stopped praying long ago. Because it's impossible. It must not have been God's will. The Lord has heard your prayer. And he's going to answer it. But now he doesn't believe. Because God changed? No. Because it just shows that he's not where he should be with God. He's not hooked up with God. Oh, we got to get closer and closer to God. Amen? It keeps coming to me too as Moses prayed, Lord, show me your way that I might know you, whom to know is life eternal. That I might know you. I'm going to quit with John 17. John 17, verse 1. Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them thy words, the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. He knows they're going to betray them. Could we say that he's speaking faith? I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. And now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Because God is able to keep you from falling. He's able to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. Amen. John 10, 25. I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you're not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So we can leave here in confidence, with confidence. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, in him. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also be given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which I had with thee, yes, given me. Oh, yes. So if God be for us, who can be against us? Father, we just thank you and praise you. Now, Lord, our job is to believe. And righteousness is imputed to us when we believe. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by doing good deeds. We're saved by believing in your word. And the faith that we need comes from listening to what you're saying and mixing faith with what you say to us and not looking at what we see or feel in the natural, but looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He started a work. You started a work. And you're going to work in us and bring us to perfection. Though it tarry, wait for it, for it will surely come to pass, your word. Now, after we've suffered a while, you will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. You have given us exceeding great and precious promises. We pray, God, your spirit will continue to whisper these things into our spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen.